Everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Those of you who know me know I normally wouldn't need a microphone, but I do want to apologize right away that I've been battling a cold for several weeks, and it's come back now as a sinus thing in stronger form again. So I'm going to try and do my best, and sometimes if I talk in longer periods, it's better, and sometimes it goes into coughing fits, so I apologize in advance if that happens too. Well, it's a really exciting topic to address this morning, the relationship between NCBVI and NCECBVI.
You know?
I should have had pom-poms or something. But those of you who know me know that the only thing I like maybe better than puns is analogies. So I was thinking about this. In the field of blindness in Nebraska, I would say that we are by far, in a way, the two longest-term organizations. I didn't look up the exact, but I remember 18 years ago being at the 125th anniversary of the NCECBVI, as it's called now. So, you know, quick math tells me it's about 140-some years in service, and we're approaching 80, I believe, as vocational rehabilitation services for the blind. So there's a long history of dedicated service to children who are blind or visually impaired. And I was thinking about, with the passage of WIOA in 2014, there were many things that have been talked about at this public meeting, different aspects of how that has impacted our services and those sorts of things. One of the really exciting ones, I think, is that it has asked us to try and work to better together with local education agencies, or LEAs as it's often referred to. So often, the idea of, you know, we have a couple of young gentlemen here and their parents. So often what happens, or has happened even more in the past, was there's education programming that goes on to try and prepare for your future, and then somewhere along the line in the teenage years, the adult agency, which is NCBVI, comes along, and we were sometimes, you know, programming, and we would kind of be like two ships passing in the night. And so WIOA wants us to work closer together, and while we've made efforts of that over the years, it's really great to have that focus. So one of the things that happened with that then, of course, is that the position was created here as a transition specialist, and Leslie introduced herself earlier, but about the same time, her position was created at NCECBVI. And so now we have even more personnel focus. And so what we're here today to talk about is what I would say, and this is where my analogy comes in. So I was thinking about how to sort of frame this. So I grew up in a little town of 500 people. And of course, that means that you know everyone in town for better or worse, right? So as I said, our organizations are long standing within the blindness field in Nebraska. So we have a lot of history, sometimes being close, sometimes being not so close. And I was thinking about, it's kind of like those classmates that you might have in a community like I grew up in, that all of a sudden one year you come back to school and maybe you join a club or a sporting organization or something, and you find yourself becoming closer to someone that before you didn't think you had that much interest. So I hope this analogy isn't falling flat, because I really feel like it helps us frame where we are at. There are no doubt that we have, you know, different ideas about how to serve blind youth, sometimes different techniques, different strategies, but there's no doubt that both of our organizations want to serve blind youth in Nebraska the best way we know how, and it is best for the students and their families if we come alongside one another and try to ride on the same ship as opposed to being the two ships passing in the night. And so we have made efforts to that regard in the last couple of years, and I I want to thank Mike, you and the board for bringing this really as a focus topic so that we can highlight some of those things. So what our plan is, and I don't know if we'll take your full hour, so I don't know if that's a problem, but our plan today is to talk a little bit. I want to introduce Leslie Wagner as transition specialist and Dr. Tanya Armstrong, actually, as the outreach service person for NCECBVI. They can talk to you a little bit about the kinds of services they do in case you weren't familiar with that, and they can address some of the things we've done together. I plan to highlight a few things. And then toward the end of our presentation, we want to highlight a particular, although I was thinking about it before this presentation, unnamed project that we did together. I've written this up in several capacities now, and every time I'm kind of like, well, I have a Winterfest, I have a Wages, and I call this thing the summer work-based learning project. So I think
works
for me. Yeah, it works for us. But maybe that's something, Seth and Josh, we can have you guys come up with a name for this job thing that we did together.
Ooh. Oh, the summer job?
Yeah. So not today, but maybe you can be thinking about what we should call this thing this next summer. Okay. All right. So anyway, with that, we'll get back to that project toward the end, as I said. So for right now, I would like to give Tanya and Leslie a chance to address you briefly, and then I'll come back and highlight if there were things that they didn't mention that I feel like we've begun to do together. And they may cover those too. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. I'm just going to say a couple words about NCECBVI in general, and then I'll let Leslie be specific about the partnership. And Shane, I thought that was a really nice introduction for the progress that we've made, especially over the last couple of years working collaboratively, so thank you for that. NCECBVI is the state school for the blind located in Nebraska City, and we do have a center-based school program there, as you know, but we also serve all students throughout the state of Nebraska through different outreach services. So we will go out and work with local school districts with students, with parents and families, staff. We offer lots of training for staff as well. We have a resource center that offers materials for students statewide that we'll send out to school districts, and really are just there to be a support to students and parents and families in school districts. So thank you so much for this opportunity, for letting us come today, and I know that the stars of the show are anxious to share their information, so I'm going to hand the microphone over to Leslie to talk a little more, and then we'll get into the meat of the presentation.
Thank you.
This is Leslie Wagner, and I'm a transition specialist with NCECBVI, and this is my second year there in a position that was created new there. So I'm very excited to be there and to what you think of as a transition specialist, you think of working with parents, students, and teachers, and helping them to prepare students for where they're going to live, where they're going to work, and where they're going to learn. Those are the three words I live my life by: live, work, and learn. So there's lots of capacities we do to help students with that. We really work a lot with the teachers of students with visual impairments across the state, and we're working really hard to bring their knowledge and their expertise more to the table for transition. Just building their knowledge of transition and expanding what they offer as far as the expanded core curriculum to students to make sure we're hitting all those areas of the ECC, including career education, independent living skills, and self-determination as some of kind of the big highlights for transition. There's a lot of great projects we have going on for transition, and one of them we do is we have a work-based learning as part of our school day at our school, so a lot of our students are out on community job sites. And with my new position and with Shane's new position, And also with the legislative changes with the WIOA, there has been the opportunity to provide our students some summer work experiences. So that was a really neat project that we worked on last year. And we had three students working in their hometowns, and they had a local worksite skills trainer, or kind of that, a job coach that we kind of refer to that as commonly, but that's kind of antiquated language, I guess, so to speak. But mostly I just want to thank you, and I've really appreciated the partnership with all of you that I've gotten to know. I've worked with Stephanie Baldwin a ton, and she's just been amazing for our students. And I know everything that all of you are doing across the state to serve students and adults who are blind or visually impaired. You don't get thanked enough, I'm sure, and we just greatly appreciate it. So thank you, Shane, also for our wonderful partnership that we've gotten going here, and it's only going to grow from here. We have a meeting coming up between the commission and the Nebraska Center for Education of Children Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired, kind of just to talk more about how we can expand our possibilities and our partnerships. So great things going on. Thank you very much. So I think now that's enough hearing from some adults. I don't know. I think it's more fun to hear from students. So how would we like to do this next step, Shane?
We would like, I'd like to do a panel style.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
So.
We did some interviews with the students because we didn't know for sure if they were going to be here. And one of the things that Shane and I are working on as well, there's the Nebraska Transition Conference coming up in the end of this month in Kearney, and that's for special ed teachers across the state. And Shane and I will be collaboratively presenting at that. So we made this video hoping to share it at that transition conference, but also for today. So we'll have Josh and Seth come up front, and we'll set up some chairs up here.
Leslie, maybe I'll outline the project a little bit while they're coming up. And,
sure, yeah.
Okay.
Here you go.
All right, so many in the room are familiar with work-based learning, although you may have not thought of it that way before, but that's what WIOA certainly calls it. And it's something in, again, the history of both of our organizations. You know, a lot of our work-based learning takes place in the field, but our primary program, the kind of thing to help you understand what we're talking about would be like, maybe you're familiar with the wages program. So this is either volunteer or paid experiences, either during or outside of the school day. And of course, typically, you know, with the wage program, we do that in the summer. NCCBDI, as they told you, does a lot during their school year as well. So one of the things, if you can picture, you know, kind of what you stereotypically know about some of the programming, such as wages, is to ask someone to come for 6 weeks, maybe across the state of Nebraska. There's several, you know, skills that, you know, may or may not need to be in place for an individual to be super successful at that program. Some independent living baseline kinds of skills and things. And certainly over the years, and I know we talked about when I was at this meeting last year, we've expanded how we interact at wages, and we've certainly expanded the kinds of individuals who are able to participate there. But there still are sometimes instances where it just wouldn't really be fair to a student who maybe has a multiple set of disabilities. Maybe they aren't able to work a 40-hour week or some of those sorts of things. So there's a whole subset of folks that are statewide that we often work with, definitely NCECBDI. We're increasing referrals as well. So we got to thinking last spring, there's a whole subset of folks who may not be traditional candidates for something like a wages, but would there be some sort of a work-based learning that we could provide in the summer that we could work together and tailor to the needs of the students? So Stephanie Baldwin and myself, along with Leslie and Audrey Graves, who is the principal at NCECBBI worked collaboratively to create work-based learning programs in the hometowns of three individuals. Unfortunately, you've met Josh and Seth here and are about to hear much more from them. There's one other young woman who, like Seth, is also from David City named Emily, who was slated to be here, and they regrettably said, texted me right before the meeting that they were not able to come. But we do have her on video. We'll, I believe, show that if we can
sure,
time
yep.
permits or that kind of thing. Anyway, and I apologize, Josh and Seth, that I'm talking longer than I intended now that we kind of got you revved up, but you guys are going to get your chance, believe me, okay? So, the idea that this, the way this program worked was that our group of four went into the home communities of Josh, Seth, and Emily, which happened to be David City and Nebraska City, and we approached various employers as a group, and we ended up, and I'm not going to tell you the locations because they'll reveal that, but we found employers willing to do short-term job placements. So these fellows before you here worked about 6 to 10 hours a week for 5 to 6 weeks in June and July and a little bit into August, I guess, in some cases, last summer. So that's what they're prepared to share with you, their work-based learning experiences in their home communities. So, are you fellows ready?
Oh, can I share one more thing?
Oh, yeah,
one more
sure,
thing.
Sure.
Thank you for expanding on that. And another great thing that it really brought is that for the worksite skills trainers, we pulled on local special ed teachers, or we had a paraeducator from our school. And like the special ed teacher that worked in David City hadn't got a chance to work much with the student, Emily, and now she had because she worked with her over the summer. So just building their knowledge of work sites and working with students who are blind and visually impaired as well. So that's another nice piece. Plus, I just really liked the aspect of them being in their home communities and them showing to their community their ability to work. I think that is huge because we are saying that these students are definitely going to be able to have jobs, and we're proving it to them by having them in their home community working. So I think that's a really substantial thing to reiterate from that. So that was a neat partnership. And just so lots of people collaborated. And we also worked with the Columbus VR agency. They had a worksite skills trainer that was only going to be employed part-time in the summer for something similar that VR does. So that worksite skills trainer worked with one of our students up in David City. We kind of shared that person, so to speak. So some nice collaboration there with VR as well. So just all of the agencies, people that were involved, was it just kept being lots of wow and aha moments. So that was neat. Okay, to our featured guests.
Absolutely.
Here you go. Should I give it? Should we start with
why don't we pass the microphone to them, and then I'll ask you guys questions, and hopefully people can hear me, and then. All right, fellas. So let's just start off with, why don't you share with everybody where you work? What businesses were really great in giving you a chance to show your stuff last summer?
Valentino's.
Valentino.
And where else?
Keeping Wheel. What is washing dishes and folding pizza boxes and greasing pizza pans?
What else did you do?
Wiping signs on the buffet.
Did they keep you pretty busy?
Yes.
Yeah. They always found something for you to do, didn't they?
Yeah.
Josh, could you pass the mic to Seth and he could tell us where he worked?
I worked at the villa, the St. Joseph's Villa, which is a nursing home, and I was folding towels and protectors, and I was also, I also worked at the library, which I dusted bookshelves and sometimes cleaned off Legos.
Very cool. Well, the next question I had, Seth, you can start, and then you'll pass the microphone to Josh, too, okay? So I want to take you back to last summer. The very first day you went, what were you thinking? Can you remember that at all?
Well, I was thinking, whoa, this is going to be a cool job. And I liked my job. That was a fun job.
Mm-hmm. And what was another cool aspect of it? What did you get for spending your time at the business?
A paycheck.
That's a great aspect of it, too, isn't it?
I got a paycheck.
Could you pass the mic to Josh there?
There you go, Josh Forsman. I've got the microphone for you.
Josh, what were you thinking when you first went that first day?
I thought I was going to ride the handy bus to go see how I did.
How'd that make you feel to ride that? Were you a little nervous?
Can
or
you
was
speak
that?
A little slower? Yeah. Some people know.
No, I wasn't nervous.
Oh, good, good.
Can you explain what the handy bus is for them? Mm.
What is the handy bus?
Is it Uber, or is it a taxi, or is it a handy bus?
A handy bus.
How do they know how to find you and where to take you? How do you get to
home?
Okay. Yeah. And did you do that, or?
Yes.
Awesome. And had you ever done that before you worked?
No.
Okay. Mm. So that had to make you feel really. How did that make you feel, like, to call them up and get a ride and go where
good.
You want?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you pass the mic back to Seth, and let's see what he did for transportation. How did you get to your jobs, Seth?
How to get to my jobs? I rode it's what's called the David City Transit, but they're not really a handy bus. They're like a taxi, like a van. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So could you describe to everybody, like, how it worked? Like, how did you get a ride?
Well, I called my job coach helped me call the David City Transit, and I told them what time I needed to get picked up from the villa to take me to the library, and then...
Okay.
I had to pay 50 cents.
Very cool. Yeah.
Had you ridden public transportation like that before, Seth?
I know I've ridden it's not really a transit, but it's a transportation that is in Columbus called Kitty Cab.
Okay.
All right, so the next question is, you just mentioned that there was a person that assisted you a little bit. We have a really fancy word for those. We call those job readiness trainers. Isn't that kind of fancy?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes them feel good too. So so they're called job readiness trainers, and they don't do your job for you, do they? What do they do? How do they help you? They're not doing the work, are they?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No. The workers are doing the work.
You're the workers, right?
Well, yeah. And they're just the people that tell you if you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, so if your boss from your job gives you something to do, they might explain it a little bit, right? If you didn't quite understand it.
Right.
Yeah. Could you pass the microphone over to Josh there so we can see what he thought of his?
Josh, can you get the microphone?
How did your job trainer help you, Josh?
Well, she helped me by supervising and watching me work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after I was done, I felt good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now I'm going to ask you this first, Josh, then Seth. Did you meet other workers? Did you guys get to know other people at your jobs?
No.
Okay. Were there other coworkers there that
talk to you
and stuff?
Like, for example, did Kelly talk with you at the keeping room?
Yes.
Sure.
How about you, Seth?
Thank you, Jeff. Yes, there were coworkers that came and talked to me. There was a... I know at the villa there was a lady named Jennifer and a lady named Sandy.
And did you feel like you fit in there?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's really good. That's a really good feeling too, isn't it?
Yes.
Maybe not quite as much as the paycheck, but it's good to be a part of something, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what other advice would you want to give to students maybe who are thinking about trying it this summer? How about that? What could you share with another student maybe?
Well, I could say it's fun to work.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So, Josh or Seth, do you think we should keep this program going at the commission here at NCECBVI?
Yes.
Our little partnership? Do you think it was a... Because some people would say, man, it's my summer, I just want to sit at home. And
nah, you lie.
Yeah, you're right. Josh, tell them about, though, when you didn't have work. Can you take the microphone? When you didn't have work, you got a little what? You got a little bored, remember? You used to tell me, grab the microphone.
When I didn't have work, I got bored.
He did.
You got bored.
You know, he'd be like, oh, after about how many weeks? Tell him about that. And now with the work, that filled your summer, didn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really great.
Josh, this is Stephanie. And I have this question. I want you to answer it, and then if Steph would answer it. What piece of advice would you give somebody who was considering doing a work-based learning opportunity in the summer like you did?
Choose about what to say.
Okay, that's kind of a weighted question. Mm-hmm. But now that you've had the experience, what piece of advice would you give that might help a person be successful and do a good job and have fun? What's something that they need to remember?
Confidence.
Confidence.
Now that's a good one, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Seth, what would you say?
Well, I would say good work. Mm-hmm. And I would also say it's fun to work. Keep working. Well, what's wrong with that?
That's great. Thanks.
Now, fellas, you know, there are lots of people in your lives. There's your counselors from here, and there's the teachers, there's everybody. But one of the really important people in your lives who brought you here today are your parents. And so they were super proud of you and how you worked and things too. So we want to give them a chance to speak a little bit about how they felt it went. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
You
want to
grab it first?
I'll give it to you.
Sorry, Seth, I shocked you.
This past summer when Seth was working, like he said, he did use the transit, so he had to be responsible, take his money in his wallet, and we found out the first day that he may have had like $1 and they didn't have change, so he had to make sure that he did not lose his change the next time he had to use it. But I saw Seth grow this past summer with responsibilities, his time management. He knew he had to get to work on time, so he had to do his morning routine faster than usual.
because if we get to the job late, you'll know what that happens. But then at the end, with his sense of pride, and like he said, that paycheck, and something I had to do is, when he got his paycheck, he just didn't take it in through the ATM and deposit it that way. He went in physically and took his paycheck to the teller and actually had that other experience of communicating with the teller and depositing into his account. And he was asking what his balance was, and he was able to see his balance grow, and that was just a really great sense of accomplishment for him as well. Aside from being able to work, getting to and from his places of business, and I just had to trust and see that he was able to do it.
Well, I am.
Yay, Mom.